You guys do know that I like you, right? Okay. But you also are aware that I like the little kids better. All right? Yeah. And there's a reason for that. Because the little kids are unselfconscious. They are at the most real point in their lives that they will ever be. They don't think about how they're supposed to act. They just do it. Okay? Sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes maybe not. But they're unselfconscious. They really don't care. They've not gathered that whole sense to them yet about that I've got to fit in, that I've got to be normal, that I've got to be a certain way. Because slowly but surely, we all get caught by that as we grow older. None of us really wants to be different. And if you really are going to protest about that, think back to when you were in junior high. Okay? Because nothing's worse in junior high than being different. And the junior high kids, they go through this strange, weird transformation. And it's not always pleasant, where they're trying to figure it all out. Okay? And they're trying to figure out how they can be unique but not be different and belong to all their families, but at the same time have their own independence. And it's just one of those weird times in life. Okay? And God love them. They'll get through it. We all did. All right? But the little ones don't have to worry about any of that. They just are. You see, our gospel and all of our readings today talk about what it is to be different in a good sense. And I always laugh because so many times also when I say to somebody, well, what does holy look like? And nobody ever starts with themselves. All right? They always say, oh, that person over there is holy. And what the person's really describing is that person over there is a little bit different than I am. Okay? And in effect, there is one piece of truth to that, and that is that God is totally other. All right? God is totally other than what we know. Not Jesus, but God the Father is totally other. The part that we can't understand. The part that's totally unlike anything except God. But whenever we try to define holy, we usually point out somebody else. Oh, it's like that person over there or that person over there. But not here. Not me. And we have to learn how to figure out what that part of us is that's holy. We have to learn how to figure out what part of us to do that, you know, what to do with that, so that we can start to name it. Because, again, in our readings today, we're told that it's in some ways good to be different. Look at David in the first reading. Now, David had his moments, good and bad. But in this particular moment, how different was he? He was pretty doggone different because Saul's trying to kill him. Saul's actually taken 3,000 men and he's gone on a campaign to find David and his men and to kill him. And God now delivers Saul into David's hands, and David and his lieutenant are right there, and the lieutenant's like, I can get him right now with one thrust and that I won't need a second one. This whole thing will be over. What does David do? David becomes totally different in that moment because he says, no, we can't touch the Lord's anointed. We can't do it. So he says, let's take the spear and the water jug. And so the next morning he's trying to show Saul, no, I'm not trying to kill you. I'm not after you, so would you stop being after me? Well, the whole story really doesn't end well, but at that moment he says, send somebody over to get your spear and your water jug. But know that I'm doing what I think God wants me to do. Okay? That's different. That's different. Not many of us would respond the same way, because what do we normally do when somebody's out to hurt us? We do the normal thing. We try to hurt them back. That's the normal thing. But what are we being called to be? We're called to be Christ-like. That's not normal. We're called to be Christ-like, and we're called to respond in a different way. All that language in the second reading about being, you know, Jesus being the new Adam, all right? But we're supposed to be like the early natural Adam. We're supposed to be back to those days when, like, we were little kids and we were unselfconscious until we started to learn that there was an other, okay? And so let's get to the gospel, because in the gospel, again, probably this collection of sayings of Jesus, none of which we really like, Okay? Because that whole passage is kind of this collection of all these different things where Jesus was telling everybody, don't be like the world. Be like the kingdom. Act like you belong to the kingdom. Act like you belong as children of God. Be different. Don't act the way the world acts. Again, love your enemies. But what does the world tell us to do? Hate our enemies. But what are we trying to do to pray for our enemies? What are we trying to do to love those who hate us? When was the last time you prayed for the person who hated you the most? Yeah, I rest my point, okay? We're supposed to be different. We're called to be different. We're called to be other Christs. And that is no fun sometimes because it hurts and it requires a sacrifice and it requires us to be different. And so look at that whole list, okay, that we're supposed to, you know, lend without expecting anything in return. We're supposed to give. We're supposed to turn the other cheek. We're supposed to pray for those who persecute us. Do we look like that other person? Do we look like that person who's going to stick out a little bit? Because it's what we're called to be. I think about our present day and age and some of the things that we're called to do and the voice that we're called to be. And everybody gets so tired of listening to people like me. You get tired of listening to people like me. I stop and I think about the fact that we're supposed to be people who proclaim life at all times and for everybody and everything. And so people nod their head in here and, oh yeah, Father, you're right about, you know, the crazy lurch right now that some on the left are taking toward abortion at any point in time. And again, I'm watching people like Cardinal Dolan engage in that conversation at a different level. And I'm going, yeah, we've got to say a word. We've also got to stick up for women and children. So we've got to stick up for the right to life of the unborn. We've also got to stick up for women and children because some of those people are making those choices because they don't feel like they have any others. So what are we doing to fix all that? How are we fixing it? And then what about some of those other ones that are not little and innocent? What do we do about the ones on death row? Now this is where you all should cross your arms and start staring at me. Like, now we wish you'd shut up. Right? Everybody says, why don't you preach about abortion more often? Because you all shake your heads like this when I do that. And it's when I preach about the other things like immigration reform or, care for the mentally ill or any of those things, you know, that are going to affect your taxes that you start looking at me going. And what about those on death row? Actually, it'd be cheaper if we just kept them on death row. We didn't have a death row, but that's a whole different issue. Okay? I stop and I think, how are we supposed to be different? We're supposed to be thinking different. We're supposed to be approaching the world differently. We're supposed to be approaching the world with gospel values instead of what's going to be best for us. Because did you hear that whole list that Jesus had? And how do we love those who even do the things that we don't want them to do? How do we love them? How do we love them into a different way of being? How do we love them into a different way of thinking? How do we love them beyond their messiness, in a model of the way that God loves us beyond our messiness? How do we do all that? And it's hard. So last week I had 7 or 8 students from OCC with me this week, and we were talking about some of these things, and they said, well, how does this stuff impact things when you're talking about the Eucharist? And I said, what doesn't the Eucharist impact? Because if we're going to gather around this table, it means that we've got to care about our enemies. If we gather around this table, we've got to care about those people who hate us. If we gather around this table, it means that we can't ignore the poor. If we gather around this table, it means we can't ignore innocent life in the womb. If we gather around this table, it means we cannot be part of state-sponsored murder. It doesn't stop. It won't end. We're called to be different. And sometimes we really hate that, because there's a stubborn part of us that doesn't want to be different. But different is what God is depending on us for. Different is who God calls us to be. Different is who we are if we belong to Jesus Christ. We were all set apart. We were all marked out. We were all told that we were sent for mission when we go from here to change the world because of what we do here and what we hear here. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to be that? Are we willing to be different in being other Christs?